God is an awesome and
great
God, and we are blessed this morning to be here and praise. He's worthy of all of our praise and adoration. Amen.
Amen.
We just thank God for His goodness towards us. Certainly He does reign upon today. Amen. Good to see all of you that are out. And I'm also thank those of you that are inviting us, are listening to us on the podcast, are looking at us on the website stream. Amen. All together, we make one big congregation upon this morning. So we thank all of you, however you're with us and joining this gathering this morning.
Thank you.
All right. We want to get into the Word of God. And let's see you all. Some that are visiting with us, and we certainly welcome you all this morning as our visitors. And pray that you be blessed. In the book of Habakkuk, some of the more versed in the Hebrew language would say Habakkuk. Amen. But most of us say Habakkuk. All right, so, and we're going to read in your hearing from the first chapter, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1. Amen. We want to read it in its entirety. I may be great that we can go through all this, but I think we need to read it in its entirety. It reads, beginning in verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save me. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoil and violence are before me, and there are raised up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doeth never go forth. For the wicked doeth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard the wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your day, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land, to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their hearts also are swifter than the leopards and more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from forth. They shall fly as an eagle that hastens to eat. They shall come all from the bowels. The faces shall suck up as the east wind. And they shall gather the captivity as the same. And they shall stop at the scheme. And the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall derive every stronghold. For they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind shall change. And he shall pass over in a thing, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look upon iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thou tongue when the wicked devour a man that is more righteous than he, and make man as a fish of the sea, as a creeping thing that have no ruler over them. understand. So I'm beginning a new series today. It's going to be short, maybe 3 or 4 messages at the most. And God said the same 3 from the book of Habakkuk. So we're going to try to go through the whole book of Habakkuk in about 3 or 4 sermons. Amen. So that you can glean from it. I want to entitle this series Singing in the Rain.
Right.
Singing in the Rain. Amen. I'm saying that it's kind of moving by the title of an old movie that came out way back.
Right.
I think, 50s or somewhere like that, 50s or 60s. And it basically, it's talking about even when we think about the metaphors there, it's talking about even when things are going wrong,
right,
still having some joy and happiness in the midst of the things that are going wrong. Okay, but now, when I say singing in the rain, I do not want you to spell rain like you spell it. I want to spell rain, R-E-I-G-N. R-E-I, that means reign, like you're in charge, like a king reigns over his kingdom. Right? Or the Lord reigns over his kingdom. So think about reign, R-E-I-G-N. Because basically what I want to get to, and hopefully what we can get to is, in this way, because he reigns above everything. Amen. Because he reigns as believers, as the followers of Christ, we can always worship.
Yes.
I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how difficult things may seem. We can sing, we can worship. We can worship. We can be glad, enjoy our God. We can sing in the rain. We can worship because we know whatever we're going through, he's still on the throne.
Amen.
He's still in charge.
Yes.
He still reigns.
Yes.
That's what I mean by saying in the rain. All right, y'all with me so far?
Yes.
Now today I want to talk about is particularly in specific from the title Questioning God.
All right.
Questioning God. I wonder this morning, has anyone here ever questioned God?
Amen. Amen.
You know, in our text we're going to see, Habakkuk is somewhat of what we might call a lamentation or a cry. A cry out to God that's filled with questions. And I just want to begin by even as we look at this, we are going to see that God invites our input.
Uh-huh. Amen.
God invites our question. He's not afraid of the questions that we may ask him.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You see, it's nothing sinful or evil when one questions God. Because the questioning of God does not say that there's an absence of trust. Listen here, listen carefully. When you question God, you're not saying, God, that I don't trust you. It is not always indication that that there's an absence of trust, but it's usually indicating that there's a presence of trouble and tragedy. You gotta listen to me.
Yeah.
It don't mean you don't trust him, but it means right now, even though I trust you, but there's so much trouble and tragedy
that
I'm going through.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to ask you some questions. I'm confused about a few things because of what's going on in my life and in my world right now.
Amen.
It is not an absence of believing in God, but it's the presence of a burden of a broken heart. That's why he says, come to me with your question, because I realize when you have questions, it don't mean you don't trust me. It don't believe you don't believe me. But I know right now you're in pain. Your heart is broken. Your burden is heavy. And right now the troubles and the tragedies that you're encountering, you just got a question about. And I invite you, God always invites us and his followers to be honest with him. God can help you. You're honest. Yeah. If you got some issues with it right now that you don't understand, God said, yes, you can be honest with me. Let me be your sounding board. Come to me. Let me, don't bottle it all up, but let me have it. Because I'm a big enough God to handle.
Amen.
Y'all with me so far? Well, maybe y'all ain't never questioned him. Maybe that's why y'all. Or maybe you just subconsciously, you just can't admit that you question God. Am I right about it?
You
will.
Let's see if we can kind of get into the text. And Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets. That's probably why you've never read it. Most of us have never read it. Habakkuk is a minor prophet. I've got 12 minor prophets. Now, when you say minor prophet, it does not mean his message is minor.
Right.
It means his book is short. Mm-hmm. You got major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and things, Ezekiel, Daniel. They are larger books. But all the minor prophet books are just as important as the major prophets. Amen. So he has an important message for us, and we want to see if we can look into that message this morning. All right, then let's begin this verse. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The Lord, because he's God's prophet, the Lord allows him to see things that other people don't see. The Lord allows him to have a greater sensitivity. The Lord almost shared with him his sensitivity.
Yes.
So the thing that God is sensitive and cared about and concerned about, often the prophet of God has those same feelings about.
Amen.
And then he looked at it when he said, oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And that will not be what? He said, Lord, how long shall I cry? In this word, in the Hebrew, cry means ask for help. How long shall I ask for help? And you won't hear it. And then it says, even cry. Now this is a different word for cry. This word means scream. So the first cry, he said, Lord, how long shall I ask for help? And then you won't hear it. And then he goes on and says, Lord, how long shall I scream out unto thee about it, and you will not save? You cried out to God like that.
Yes,
yes. See, in the midst of it, I think this is relevant to our day and time.
Because
there's a whole lot of trouble, a whole lot of tragedy,
yes,
whole lot of things going on. Celebrated yesterday, 9/11. In that particular tragedy, and how all the pain that we absorbed 20 years ago, and here we are today with the pandemic going on, and all the other division and political upheaval in our land, and everything we're going through, and right now, amen, as I've been God, but I've served you. I tried to be the best believer and follower that I could be. Why are these things happening to me? Why is my family breaking up? Lord, do you hear me? Lord, I'm sick. Why have I been healed? Lord, I'm looking for a job. Why come I can't find a job? Lord, I'm about to be foreclosed. So where the heck do I have in the crowd and ask God for help and to scream at God and say, Lord, I'm crying out, but I'm thinking like you are not listening to me. Seems like you're not listening. Seems like you're not answering your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep dialing.
Yes.
Keep calling. So there's a question. A question that you begin to ask. It seems like the dumbs. You ask yourself, God, can you hear me? Can you hear me? God, do you hear
me? Yes, yes.
Because there's no house. I'm trying to help you have some empathy. But if you've never been there, you've never been in that kind of situation, then you've been blessed.
Jesus.
But you gotta be careful to be sympathetic with others that have been through.
Absolutely.
And others that are preaching. Then he goes on to verse. That's what he said. Don't seem like he says, God, you are indifferent.
Yeah.
God, you're indifferent. What does it mean? When you're indifferent, you don't care. I'm sharing, God, I'm pouring out my heart to you, and it seems like you're indifferent. Because I can't get no answers. Well, that's. But not only does God seem indifferent, but go on to verse 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity? Say, Lord, I'm a prophet, and you showing me what's going on in Israel or in Judah. You showing me what's going on in Judah. And you call me, behold, their grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack and judgment doeth never go forth. For the wicked do compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, not only are you indifferent, but Lord, it seems like you're inactive. You're indifferent.
Have mercy.
It seems like you don't care, and because not only that, but I don't seem to be active. You allow me to see these problems in my nation, out of my country. I'm a prophet. When a prophet, as I see these problems, I see how unrighteous and sinful and terrible. I see the decline of my nation. And I know as a prophet, when my nation takes this path, judgment is coming.
Yeah.
And because I know judgment is coming, I'm concerned. That's why I'm crying to you. But it seems like you're indifferent. And not only are you indifferent, but you're inactive.
Yeah. Lord have mercy.
God, do something that makes you what he said.
Yeah, do something
about this.
Yeah,
I pray and cry. You're indifferent, you don't care, and you're not doing anything. Remember I'm saying in there, that's why I'm going to see. We're going to see, because when you hear those words, you say, I don't know if he even believes and trusts God. see that he does, but he's crying out in his pain. That's why I said in his pain and in his trouble and in the trials he's going through. It don't mean you don't believe God, but it means you're hurting on the inside and you're just expressing your hurt.
Yeah.
It's good to express your hurt. And it's cheaper to express it to God. Amen. Now sometimes you should go to counseling. Sometimes, amen. It'll hurt a whole lot if you just share it with God. Because he knows about it anyway.
Amen.
It's therapeutic.
Yeah.
Just share it with God. Prayer don't always have to be asking for things. Sometimes prayer should just be sharing.
Absolutely.
What you're going through. But he's a good listener. He don't mind answering the hard question because he's a great God. Here you come. You come on with your hard question. In his first one, he said, hey, you got any difference? And there's also in activity, God, can you hear me? God, can you hear me? Because it don't seem like you can hear me because you're not moving and you're not answering.
Yes.
Anybody else in
there? Amen.
Anybody ever been there in your life?
Amen.
So I'm there. That's what I popped up. Whoa. Oh. That's what he was. Then. So that's the first question that he asked. God, can you hear me? Because you're indifferent and inactive, see? And then God will answer you. God answers about it. He don't always answer you like you want him to answer. Sometimes you may not like it. upset. But he said, oh, no, I have, don't think I'm sick. Don't think I haven't paid attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm already working on something. I'm raising up Babylon to judge Judea. Now, the problem with this, God answered it because, you know, he waited for an answer, waited for God to come through. And then God gives him the first answer in Habakkuk said, wait a minute. Lord, you're making a mistake.
Yeah.
First, God, can't you hear me? And God said, I can hear you. I'm working on something. I'm going to deal with this thing. I'm going to deal with the immorality. I'm going to deal with the idolatry. I'm going to deal with all the stuff, the rulers, because everybody was corrupt. The king was corrupt. The priest, the religious leader was corrupt. And the people was corrupt. Everybody was corrupt. And I'm going to deal with this. And where I'm going to deal with it, I'm going to send Babylon. And they're going to come in. And they're going to take over Judah. And they're going to punish. God, are you making a mistake?
Yeah. Are you sure?
Wait a minute, God. Do you know you talking about Babylon? You talking about the Chaldeans? Do you know how cruel they are?
Yeah, yeah.
How barbaric they are? How ruthless they are? And you said you're going to send them to punish your chosen people. God, are you making a mistake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes when you asking God for something, intervene, you better be careful. Because he's going to intervene. But I wonder when he intervened, when you say, God, are you making a mistake? Because they were ruthless, cruel individuals Babylon and then the child dead. Listen, I'm just going to share with you some of the brutality that they did. When they caught their enemies, they would peel away when they caught, came into your town, took over your country. They would peel away your skin by cutting it in small strips. In the small suit, they would peel all your skin from your body, then they would hang it up outside as a display to everybody else up there. Cool. If you was a noble, if you was like a noble, if you was a king, and the king would take over, so when they would come in, they would get all the noble children, and they would have them after they killed the kings, they would have all the children to grind the bones of their parents into dust. They will cut off arms, legs, noses, tongues, ears. And they would also castrate. They would gouge out eyes. Having them walk around. They were very small children. Brutality was their weapon. They would cut off heads.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they would stack the head outside the fence like a pyramid. So everybody would have to know how cruel they were. And there was some that even made, there was one that even made a necklace out of the heads of the people that he beheaded. They were cruel people. And that's why when Habakkuk said, wait a minute, God needs your chosen people. And God said, I'm going to send Babylon, the Chaldeans down.
Chest out. Lord have mercy.
The chest out. And they thought about how cool it is.
Lord have mercy.
Then when Habakkuk said, wait a minute, God, are you making a mistake? You see, God will give you divine revelation. The divine revelation is, I'm going to use Babylon, but he won't always give. in this case, Habakkuk asked her, why are you going to use Babylon? God will tell you what, but he won't always tell you the why. And the reason why sometimes he won't tell you why is because you can't understand it. But you see, he just told me, I'm going to do something wonderful, but you won't understand it. You won't believe it. Depending on your level of maturity, you say, I can't tell it like trying to tell a child to ask you why the sky is blue. Now, even if you know the scientific reason, he's not going to understand, or she's not going to understand. Sometimes we ask God, God says, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. But I can't tell you why, because even if I told you why, you wouldn't understand. Jesus, share with me, hey. Peter, after Peter said, hey, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus told him like that, he would be crucified. Peter said, oh, no, Lord, never let. But Peter didn't catch it, he didn't understand it. Sometimes we don't understand it. God said, no, I'm not going to go into detailed explanation. I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, he said, God, he questioned God.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can understand, but hey, if he said that in America, and some cruel nation going to come into our, wait a minute, God. America, the Christian nation, he said, America is not a Christian nation, I'm going to tell
you. Right, amen, amen, amen.
Maybe way back, we were Christian. To some of our citizens.
Oh, I'm
saying, with you.
Right.
We were Christian to some of our citizens.
Yes.
Amen. We weren't Christian to all of them.
That's right.
Amen. So there was Christian. And then a little later, we became a post-Christian nation. Some of the stuff you believe in, hold our souls don't believe in no more.
Right.
So we went from being a Christian nation, kind of, but we had slaves, not even. Taking in the land and so forth. Then we came down to be a post-Christian nation. Now, America is an anti-Christian nation.
Yeah, everybody do their own thing.
They don't want Christians, they want no Christian stuff.
Yeah.
They're against the church.
Absolutely.
They're against the Word of God. They don't want to hear the Word of God.
Right.
They want to do what they want to do. Give everybody freedom. The, amen. Do what they want to be. As they moral as they want to be.
Right.
And then accept. So God won't always give explanation that we wouldn't understand them. But in this coast, this anti-Christian nation, as all the things that are going on around us, you got to remember. The thing I like about it, the thing, this is key verse. Because it's raining, I told you about it. It's raining and it's pouring in one way, but even though it's raining and for a trial, the burden, the brokenheartedness, and tragedy, yet he still reigns. God said, I don't know how I would make it if I didn't know he reigns. Because in the worst time, you know, I look at the news, I have to remind myself, as I look at the news, he reigns.
Yeah.
He's still on the throne.
Yeah.
He's still in charge. He's still in control. He's still working. I can handle whatever goes on because I'm like, I can see it, but I know he's still working. Let me try to get to the end of this thing. Let me try. So he describes, he said, I'm going to turn it over to the Babylon. And then, of course, Habakkuk goes on and talks about that. Verses here. But the key thing that I want here comes in verse 12. That's what Habakkuk saw coming back. God just told him what he's going to do. Habakkuk said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Because first, remember, he said, can you hear me?
Right.
I don't think you hear me because you're indifferent and inactive. Now he says, are you making a mistake? And the reason why he said, are you making a mistake is because God seems to be inconsistent.
All right.
When you know who God is, it seems like he's acting in acting different than you really are. It seems like God, this is your character. You're acting inconsistent of your character. And that's what Habakkuk tried to do. Look at verse 12. Are thou not? Now you're talking about the character of God. So I'm going to tell y'all what he still believes about God. See, sometimes when you're in the snow and you don't want to slip down, you better got to find you a spot that's sturdy. A spot you won't slip in. Amen. If you find your sturdy place, you can hold yourself up. But if everything is, so in this, I think Apostle shows us a sturdy place when everything is going wrong. What do you believe about the character of God? Because that will give you a steady. He said, first thing, thou art from everlasting.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You gotta know who he is and where. Thou art from everlasting, O Lord my God. In other words, you were here before Israel was here.
Yeah.
You were here before the Chaldeans. You were here before Babylon. You were here before America, you were here, and when we're all gone, Lord, you will still be here. You're eternal. You were here before the creation. You've always existed. Nobody created God. God is the uncreated creator because he's always existed, and he always will exist. He's everlasting. He's eternal. Glad. And I don't know what he was saying.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Today and forevermore. But then it don't stop there. And oh Lord my God, my holy God. Oh, that's power right there. Not only are you everlasting, but you're holy. Now, some of us got a bad, your holiness give us a bad taste. Because we've seen what some people call holiness. But holiness means that God is perfectly good.
Yes, yes.
Y'all get that?
Yes, yes.
He has moral purity and he's perfectly good. So now this is when it comes in. If God is doing something in my life that I don't understand, I don't follow apart. If I know God is holy,
yes,
he's eternal,
yeah.
He's holy. I don't understand what he's doing,
yes,
but I do know he's perfectly good.
Amen.
He can't do anything that's evil.
Yes.
He's perfectly good. He's morally pure.
Yes.
I don't understand it, but somehow it's working out.
Yeah, somehow.
See, if Habakkuk would have had Romans 8:28.
Yeah.
God worked all things together for our good. But even though Habakkuk did not have Romans 8:28 that said God could work everything together for our good, he did have the God of Romans 8:28.
Yeah.
He didn't have Romans. He didn't have Romans 8:28. But he had the God of Romans 8:28, and because God is perfectly holy, even when I don't understand, even when God don't give me a detailed explanation, I know if he's doing it, he's perfectly good. Because he's holy. I can't understand because his ways are so high above my ways. His thoughts are so high above my thoughts. But I know he's perfectly good.
Yeah.
I just let him hold on to that. So God is eternal. He's perfectly good because he's holy. He's sovereign. That means he reigns.
Yeah.
He's in control. Like a king that reigns over a nation. He's in control. Now he is not like our president or our government. They don't have the same kind of control. Because they can be overruled. They can overrule each other. President, they can overrule the government, and then sometimes the way the government can overrule the president, and then sometimes the Supreme Court can overrule the president and the government. Nobody the hand of the land work. But then that's where God, when God reigns, when God, amen, when God speaks, nobody, there is no Supreme Court, there is no president, there is no that you can't vote God off the throne. God will always be on the throne. He's God. When God said yes, can't nobody say no. When he said no, can't nobody say yes. When he opened the door, can't nobody close the door. When he made the way, can't nobody take away the way that he made. He's God all by himself. When he said for the sun to rise, sun ain't got no trouble but to rise. Because he's God all by himself. When he said heal the way, nobody, nobody can help him be healed. Because God is all by himself. He's that kind of God. He's sovereign. He's in control. If he wanted to, he could stop the pandemic now. If he wanted to, he could empty the hospital like this. So wait a minute now. If he's been, if he's everlasting, if he's holy and perfectly good, if he's sovereign and do everything. And that means if he has moved in my situation, there's a purpose for it. I don't know the purpose. I may not ever know the purpose while I'm alive, but there's a purpose for it. Because I know his character. But then lastly, he said, now in the King James, I wanted to get another prayer out of this one. In the King James, when you see it's 12. We shall not die alone. Thy ordained them for judgment. And, you shall not die. Thou hast ordained. See the word ordained? That means you are sovereignly chosen to do this. You sovereignly chose you, Babylon. You chose you, Babylon. And when you choose that Babylon, can't nobody hunt you. But then go on and say, Almighty God. Everybody say that, Almighty God. Now, in the Hebrew, remember, the Bible not wrote in the English, it wrote in Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it says, actually says, and some Bible translators say this too, our rock.
All right.
That's what it says. Our rock. Because he's talking about the stability. You can depend on the rock. You can depend on it. Amen. It ain't gonna change. He's a rock. It's like, and it's talking, really talking about God's faithfulness. You can depend on God. You can depend on me. I'll come through for you. I'm a rock. I'm a foundation. Don't be like that. You know, you can see God when he talks about the man in the building. Remember in Matthew where he talks about building the two houses?
Yeah.
One building house on the sand. And the storm came, and the house blew down, but another building house on the rock. And when you build one, you build the rock on the right foundation. See, God is our rock. One another building house on the rock, and when the storm came, the house stood because it was built on a rock.
So I
understand how the Bible says, now God, you're everlasting, you're eternal. You're perfectly good because you're holy. Not only that, God, you're sovereign. So whatever you say, we can put a period behind it, so can't nobody add nothing to it. But not only that, God, you are a rock. You are faithful. We can depend on you. You're reliable. Even when the storm comes, we can stand the storm.
Yeah.
Because you are faithful. When you're on the rock. You remember. Say I had it right down, but I can't remember so like I used to. Say it's on fire, the solid rock. I stand. All on the ground, the secret stand. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but hold in me. Oh, Jesus' name. Oh, come down when you're strong, how can you do? Amen. When you're there and you got questions, you can ask God, share God with your questions, but there may come a point when you ask God the question. When you share them your concern and you don't get an answer.
Lord have mercy.
You've got to trust your character.
Yes.
God, I trust your character. And what I'm going to do, this thing that I don't understand, I'm going to put it in your hands.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? y'all know this song. Where do I go when there's nobody else to turn to?
Yeah.
Who do I talk to?
Come on.
When nobody wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable?
Yeah.
I go to the rock.
Yeah.
I know he labeled.
Yeah.
I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation.
Yeah.
I go to the stone that the builders rejected.
Yeah.
I run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me.
Yeah.
Wind, all earth, all around is singing, sing. On bright, the solid rock I stand.
Yeah.
When I need a shelter, yeah, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Shall live by faith. When you look at it with your eyes, and tragic. But the just shall live by faith. What you see might seem terrible, but the reason why you can sing and worship God because he's still on the throne is because by faith in the character of God. You know you're going to work it out. The just shall live. I don't live by what I see. I live by my faith in him and in his name and his character. And that's the thing. God, I see. I told you, watch me. And you gave it to me. Now look at what I've done with it. And then you come to church. Praise to God. Thank you, God. Tell another folk how God has moved.
Yes.
And God has made a way.
Yes.
How God has blessed you. Even sometimes when he may not make a way like he wants to, you're going to say, well, you know, God didn't really solve the issue. But God gave me a supernatural ability to have joy in the midst of the issue.
Yeah. There you go.
But he don't solve everything. But sometimes when he don't solve it, you know, I thought when it didn't come through like I wanted to come through, I thought, hey, the light won't work with me. But then God done something in me. And I got way more joy. Then when all this happened, because I found a joy that the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. So if you don't bring you out, he'll bring you through. And he'll bring you through. Looking better than you should have looked going through it. You don't know how y'all gonna be here. And I said, if you don't bring your house, he'll bring you through. And when you come through, you'll look way better than you should have looked going through what you went through.
Yeah.
God did not spread us on the earth. We went down in the fire. Amen. The fire keeps burning up the person through us in. But when we came out of the fire, our clothes should have been burned. We should have had dogs on our road. Second, third, fourth, and we burned. We shouldn't even have made it out. We shouldn't be out. But when we came out of the fire, clothes still intact. Then we smell like fire. Hair still intact. Because God brought us through. And when we went through what we went through, we should have came out of the way, but because of God with us.
In the fire.
It still looks the same. Clothes weren't burned. Still, it has to be on time to it. Watch it now. Still clean. It smells like smoking up. Still clean. But that way, God will take you through some stuff. And folks say, I don't know how you went through that. Still looking like you look. I don't know how you went through what you went through. Still smiling like you smiling. Somebody will turn on. You don't need to be responsible, but you need to repent and give. What I want you to do this morning, when you say